Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, September the 17th, 2023. Now, saints of God, I am blessed to be I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm blessed to be the overseer here. Hallelujah. But as always, I am joined by my phenomenal family in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver. And then we have our elders in the house, those that we love dearly. We have my spiritual aunt, Nita, in the house, and we have Brother Lee and Sister Terry in the house this morning. So from all of us to all of you, we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service. And we pray that on today, that not only do you hear something that will uplift your spirit, we want you to be blessed, hallelujah, but to your very soul. Now, at this time, I'd like you to bow your hearts with me as we go to the Lord and we open this worship service in prayer. Oh, Most High, we come singing praises to your holy name. Because, Lord Jesus, you said if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto yourself. So, Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit just come on in this worship service and have his way. Bless each and every person, Lord God, who will help to spread the banquet table of the gospel this morning. We pray for every listener, Father God, that they will be exalted, they will be edified, they will be blessed, they will be strengthened, Father God, by the holy word that goes forth on today. And Lord, we come praying for the lost today. We pray in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that someone would be your hands, your feet, and your mouthpiece and say something, a word of compassion that would cause them to stop, drop, and give their lives to you. Lord, we just want you to be pleased with everything that we do during this worship service. And Lord, if we've done anything at all, hallelujah, all of us collectively just ask you to forgive us, oh God. Yes, and we will be so careful to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in your wonderful son, Jesus' holy and righteous name. We do pray it all. Amen and amen. Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're going to get this him. Hallelujah. Thank you.
y'all have some church tonight. I can feel it already.
To God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for being our help. Hallelujah. I would like to once again would like to say good morning and welcome to everyone that is just joining us. Hallelujah. We want to just say we praise God to have you in the house this morning and that we love you dearly. Hallelujah. The word of God declares and decrees to give double honor to the elders, especially those who labor in the doctrine. So I just want to say once again good morning to all the elders in the house, starting with my mother, Mother Mitchell, to my spiritual aunts, to my friends, Lee and Terry. God bless you, and we're so glad that you are here holding us down in prayer and being our watchman on the wall. Now, at this time, we will have one of our wonderful teachers and elders to come forth, and that is Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, because each and every Sunday morning, hallelujah, she is faithful and on her post, and she reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince, entitled Destined to Reign. So my brothers, my sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far. Praise God that we all can be here today. My message and meditational reading this morning is entitled, Jesus, High Priesthood is Forever. We'll be looking at Hebrews 6 and 20. It reads in part, Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is our high priest forever. This forever aspect changes the way we are blessed and how we receive our blessings from God. As our high priest, Jesus represents us before God. Since his priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek, which is one of righteousness, his righteousness becomes our righteousness forever. This means that we are forever righteous in God's eyes. And because Jesus will never die, but continue as our high priest forever, we have an everlasting righteousness, not merely a here today, gone tomorrow righteousness based on our works. No, we have a perpetual and everlasting righteousness because Jesus, our high priest forever. This also means that blessings are perpetually on your head because the Bible says that blessings are on the head of the righteous. And you can read that in Proverbs 10 and 6. And you are righteous forever. Unlike the priesthood according to the Levitical order, which blesses as well as curses, the priesthood of Jesus, according to the Melchizedek order, only blesses. There is no cursing, only blessings, always and forever. And because Jesus is our high priest forever, the blessings do not come to us in intermittent drips, but streams into our lives in a ever-ending flow. Because he is our high priest forever, we can never stop his blessings. By being our high priest forever, Jesus also touches the blessings that he gives us with a forever effect. He touches our lives and we have eternal life. He touches our ministry and it impacts, and its impact becomes eternal. And the more we see his priesthood as having a forever effect, the more permanent our healing and prosperity will be. Truly, there is nothing temporal about what Jesus, our high priest, does. It is not a case of blessed today, cursed tomorrow. The blessings we receive are sure and steadfast because Jesus is our high priest today tomorrow and forever. So rejoice, because Jesus, your high priest, changes how you are blessed forever. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. For the day, God's blessings are sure and steadfast because Jesus is our high priest today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen, and glory to God.
Live in me, Jesus. Have your way in me. Live in me, Jesus. Have your way in me, Lord. For I may be the only Jesus. That this generation may ever see. So live in me, Jesus, please, Lord. Then have your way in me. Have your way in me. Yeah. Please live in me, Jesus. Then I have your way in me, Lord. I'll be blessed for you, Jesus. If you have your way in me. Yeah, oh, live in me, Jesus. Yeah, have your way in me, Lord. Take me and make me, Lord. You love him, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Live in me, Jesus. I need you to walk, talk through me. Have your way, Lord. Generation may ever see. Yes, I need you to have your way in me, Lord.
Have your way in me.
Whatever you need to do, do it, Lord. Live in me.
Live in me, Jesus.
Give me the right mind. Give me the right heart, Lord.
Have your way.
Without you, Lord, I need you to work the work, work in me, Lord.
Have your way in me.
Yeah, live in me, Jesus. Yeah,
live in me, Jesus.
Oh, have your way in me, Lord.
Have your way in me.
Oh, hallelujah, and all praises to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a very important time for our family because this is the time that we come together, hallelujah, and we stand in the gap for our brothers and our sisters all over this world. Yes, we see the devastation of war. Yes, we see the devastation of natural disasters. Yes, we see the violence. But we want you to know that here we still believe that God is able. So when we pray expecting, trusting, and believing that God will do exactly what he says he will do. So right now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to clear your mind. I want you to bow your heart. And I want you to get real, be prepared to get really real before the Master. As we go to the throne of grace with his anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Come
God.
On in
Amen.
The room. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless everyone. We are going into prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because we have many, many things before us to pray about this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you being thankful to you for all that you are to us. We thank you for allowing us to have life. We thank you for another day that you have kept us and watched over us and protected us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together one more time. Hallelujah. And we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive us this morning of anything, Lord, that would not match up with what you would have for us in the name of Jesus. We come against sin, all of these things that drive the people back, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, for from going forth and doing your will. We come against all of these things that prevent that in Jesus' name, hallelujah. So forgive us this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just lift up those that are suffering, those that have been affected by the natural disasters, all of the devastation, the flooding that we know about, and all of these things, hurricanes, and all the other disasters that your people are going through, we lift them up this morning, asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, that you would touch in the name of Jesus. Touch those, Lord, that are suffering. Touch those that are ailing, hallelujah, from sickness and diseases. We pray, Lord, that you will remember them today, that you will touch, that you will heal in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we know that Satan has been raging more and more. But, Father God, we thank you that we're standing, hallelujah, in the gap for others this morning. Hallelujah, standing in the gap for our families. Hallelujah, for our cities, our communities. Hallelujah, in the places that you have placed us, Father God, to do your work. We're praying, hallelujah, for those that you have put around us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for us to minister to, for us to help. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the power. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for it, Lord. You have given us power over these things, hallelujah, that are affecting all of us in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we thank you that we have the power to pull down these strongholds. So this morning, Lord, we pull down the strongholds in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray for peace. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we pray for miracles in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are many standing in need of a miracle this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. We pray for deliverance everywhere, God. We pray for souls to be saved this morning all across the nation in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for touching lives right now. We thank you for making a difference right now. We pray, Lord, for those that are still suffering over war, the war-torn areas, and even those, Lord, hallelujah, that have lost many loved ones. We pray that you would touch them in the name of Jesus, that they would be comforted, that they would know you in the name of Jesus, in the pardoning of their sins. Hallelujah, that all of these things, Lord, that are happening, hallelujah, we pray that it will cause your people to turn towards you, God, to accept you, hallelujah, to know you, to live for you in the name of Jesus, that their lives will be better, that their lives will be the way you would want them to be in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for touching. We thank you for moving in the name of Jesus in their behalf. And we just praise you. We pray for those, Lord, that are in the hospitals. We pray for those that are in jails and juvenile halls and prisons. We pray for them, Lord, hallelujah, that they will know you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We come against all of the viruses in the name of Jesus that we're hearing about, new viruses, new diseases and cropping up. We pray, Lord, that you will step in, that you will touch these ones in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you will bless those that are caring for them, the doctors, the health care workers, and so on. We pray that they will do the work in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will work through them in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way. Touch everywhere in the name of Jesus. Those that are being abused, we pray that you will touch them in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are in domestic violence situations and feeling like they have no way out. We pray, Lord, that you will rescue them in the name of Jesus and the children that are being abused. We pray for your hand.
My Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Touch, Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Spare lives in the name of Jesus. Rescue them, God, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, for those in the schools, the children, the staff, hallelujah. We pray for the parents. We pray that you will put their mind at ease, that they will put their trust in you, that they will pray for their children in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, for them. Pray for their safety. Oh, on their way to school, hallelujah, in the schools, in their homes.
Jesus.
Pray that you would watch over them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we come against all of these demonic forces all over the place. In the name of Jesus, we come against them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, we pray for your love to be spread even the more, God, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We pray for the leaders all over, political leaders, church leaders, ministry leaders, everywhere.
My Lord.
We pray that you will raise them up, God, in the name of Jesus, in a way that they will serve you, God. Hallelujah. We pray that they will repent. Hallelujah. Those that need repentance, we pray that they will come forward, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For what you're doing in the household of faith right now. We thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah. We thank you for exposing those, hallelujah, that are not living righteous lives, those that are leading others astray.
Yes.
We pray. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For exposing them and hallelujah.
Yes.
Causing them to come forward and make it right and to repent, to step down to whatever needs to happen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We know that you're doing that, Lord, in great numbers, and we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you will continue to strengthen us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, continue to use us for your will and glory. Keep us walking upright before you, God. In the name of Jesus, serving
in the name
your
of
people.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, on every level, God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is not about us, but it's about you.
It's
about
you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Walking in obedience to you, hallelujah, and serving you in every way
Lord.
That we can, so that your people will be blessed everywhere, hallelujah, oh God, so that they will enjoy the life, hallelujah, that you have chosen, hallelujah, the abundant life.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
We all can enjoy, hallelujah, because we know that
Lord.
You have given us that life. We know what you did for us, God. Hallelujah. We know that you gave up your life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So that we have it. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank
in the
you,
name
Lord,
of Jesus.
Every individual deserves what you did for us.
Hallelujah.
And for what you desired us all to have. And we thank you for that
thank
today.
You, Lord.
Praise
thank
you,
you,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
We thank you. We thank you
thank
for what
you,
you're doing. And we lift up the spirit of life ministry, Lord, and all the other ministries, hallelujah,
bless
that are on the line today, that are on the broadcast. We lift them up in the name of Jesus.
In
we pray,
the name
Lord,
of Jesus. Bless them.
We continue to operate in the way that you would have us. We pray for your continued guiding us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you. We thank you. We pray for our families this morning. Hallelujah. We pray for healthy relationships within families. In the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh,
God.
Thank you, Lord.
For salvation. Hallelujah. Within the family realm. In the name of Jesus. Pray for those, Lord. Hallelujah. That are not saved. We pray for those that are allowing Satan to operate through them. We pray for them. We lift them up this morning. Hallelujah. We pray that souls will be saved. We pray, hallelujah, that they will lift holy hands unto you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We come against Satan on every side in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those demonic forces that are attempting to break up the family units and
come on.
All of these things, we pull down these strongholds in the name of Jesus.
In your name,
in the
Lord.
Name of
your
Jesus.
Name.
We call for love, peace, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
In the name of Jesus. and we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do, Lord. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
No man trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. Oh, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in their riches. Some may trust in all they own. Oh, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. There is wonder-working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name.
And glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the glorious speaker of the hour is someone whom I hold dear. He is my brother. He is my friend. And he is a man after God's own heart. So please, if you have not retrieved something to write with or to write on, I suggest you get, because there is a banquet about to be spread. Get your Bibles. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you do not have a Bible and you are on your phone or computer, please go to BibleGateway.com and then follow the instructions of the mighty man of God of the hour, Bishop Lester Carver. Good morning, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. And bless everyone on the line this morning. Today, we are going to be hearing from God about embracing the power of God. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up. There is no other like you in heaven or earth, God. Father, we praise you. We magnify you, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent as the payment for our sin, and as you sent to be the payment for our physical wholeness with the stripes that he bore when he was beat before he was nailed to the cross. God, we thank you for how after 3 days and three nights in the stone tomb, you raised him from the dead so that you could send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within each and every one of us who make your son, Jesus Christ, our master. God, I thank you for you allowing us to operate in the fullness of the power that comes through that Holy Spirit within us, that allows you to dwell within us, that allows your son, Jesus Christ, to dwell within us, that allows that Holy Spirit to lead, guide, direct, and comfort us so that we can operate in that absolute power in the earth in order to claim dominion for you in the earth. God, I thank you for you fulfilling your master plan of dwelling with your people and your people dwelling with you. And I thank you for you giving us the awesome privilege of being able to participate in making that happen by being active ministers of reconciliation as we win the lost for the kingdom, those that you've called before the foundations of the world to be your children, because you knew that they would say yes to making your son Jesus Christ their master and their Lord and their Savior. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we're going to be discussing embracing the power of God. And we're going to be discussing this because there are so many in the world who openly reject the power of God. And one of the reasons why they reject the power of God is because they fear the power of God. I remember a time in the Old Testament when the children of God were delivered from bondage in Israel as slaves, and they're in the wilderness, and Moses is going to go up on the mount, and God almost said, I want to dwell with all my people now. And they were like, no, Moses, you go up there by yourself. You go tell us what he said. And of course, Moses met with God and he came back and he was shining. He was so bright because of his exposure to God. And they were content. The people were content with having Moses tell them what God said. And God said, yeah, they're probably afraid that'll work out. I'll tell you when you tell them. But the Holy Spirit has been to dwell within you and I so that God can dwell within each and every one of us. And we can go boldly before the throne of God at all times in order to receive grace and mercy from God to be able to help in the time of need. See, God's grace is his enabling power. God's grace is also all of his divine favor, his unmerited favor, all the great things we get from God that we just don't deserve, but he blesses us with it new each and every day. Amen. Because he needs it. And his mercy is his judgment that he withholds from us every day. It's those whoopings that we deserve that we don't get, so that when we do make a mistake, when we do stumble, we can get right back up and get right back to work instead of having our little personal pity party and taking away from the work that God has for us to do. God says, no, you get new grace and new mercy each and every day. Well, because of this power that's been placed within us, we are not to be as those who reject the presence of God because of fear, because we know perfect love casts out fear. And see, that is why God is telling us the first and great commandment is love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then love yourself. And then love others. That is what God is asking us to do. If you were to sum up everything God is asking you to do, love him, love yourself, and love others. Because God knows that perfect love casts out fear. See, if you are walking in love, you're not afraid to dwell in the presence of God because you know that God is love and love is God and you're dwelling in him and he's dwelling in you. And so now you are in that place where you need not fear, but now you need to openly, boldly embrace the power because, see, it's the power within you that's going to win souls for the kingdom. It's also the power within you that's going to produce fruit in your life so that you live a fruitful life and in Christ. And so it's one of those things where it says in 1 Timothy 6, I believe, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, right? godliness with contentment is great gain. And when you understand that, just being in the presence of God is enough all by itself. All by itself, it's enough to be able to go before the throne of God at the beginning of each and every day and receive that grace and receive that mercy each and every day is contentment with great gain. You are gaining everything that God is just giving you. And now the challenge is to use it. And see, when you receive something, God says to him, much has been given, much is required. And see, this was one of the reasons why the people, another reason beyond the fear, is when you are given much, you are required of much. You have to use the power that you've been given in order to deserve the power that you've been given. God is not going to waste his power on those who are going to sit on it. So look at what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm just going to read verse 5 here. 2 Timothy 3:5 states that some people have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They may act religious, but they reject the power that can make them godly. The verse advises to avoid such people. Push them away. The verse is part of a letter from Paul to Timothy in which Paul warns Timothy about the difficult times that will come in the last days. Now, you and I know that we live in the last days, and we know that there are those who have a form of godliness but reject the power thereof. And see, this is one of the things that we have to avoid. We can't fall into this trap. Because those who reject the power of God only possess an outward, external appearance or form of godliness. This is religion as we know it. It tells us to have nothing to do with these people. If you're one of these people, repent. Many Christians are afraid of the power of God because they lack that perfect love. See, perfect love casts out fear. And what we want to do is help to deliver others. We want to help to encourage others. We want to help to minister to others. We want to help to develop and disciple others so that they can grow in their relationship with God just as we have grown in our relationship with God. And we know that it's a process. None of us were saved and then instantly made perfect that moment. But the Holy Spirit that was placed within us when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, that Holy Spirit within you is perfect, and it's doing a complete and perfect work from the inside out. See, a form of godliness is an outside polishing of a car that doesn't run, of a car with an engine that has no transmission, has no battery. It has nothing to make it go. But it looks nice. It's sitting right there. It's sitting right in the drive, and it looks so pretty and shiny and new. But if you put a key in it and tried to start it, it's not going anywhere. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to have a form of godliness but deny the power. We want to focus on that battery that's been placed within us. See, that battery is the Holy Spirit, which has the power that enables us to, well, on a newer vehicle, push the start button, right? But if you have an older vehicle, you'll have to have a key, and you'll have to turn the ignition on, and the car will start, given a lot of other factors being in play in terms of how engines operate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, spiritually, we have to understand that we have been given a great privilege to be able to possess the power of the Holy Spirit within us so that we can operate in the fullness of that power of the Holy Spirit and not get tricked and deceived and talked into pretending to be saved, pretending to have a relationship with God, pretending to be godly. See, having a form of godliness is only shining the outside, polishing the outside, painting the outside of a rotten egg. The inside is dead, but the outside looks so beautiful. And that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for your heart to be submitted to him. He's looking for the stony places in your heart to be removed so that those places of unforgiveness, of jealousy, of bitterness, of wrath, of rage, of rebellion, of unforgiveness can be removed from your heart, so then you can live a fruitful Christian life and God can plant that seed within you, the seed of his word that cleanses you. See, only the word of God can cleanse you. Now, I want to look in 1 John chapter 4, where I'm going to take the majority of this morning's message from, so that we can really hear what God is saying to us, and we can get to this point where we understand that God's constant presence in our life makes us content. See, when you are truly in possession of actual godliness within, not the form of godliness without, where you're pleasing people and serving money and leaning to your own understanding and operating out of your own natural strengths, talents, and abilities, but when you are actually intentionally serving God and not money, pleasing God and not people, trusting God and not your own understanding, and obeying God by operating out of the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of leaning on your own natural strengths, talents, and abilities, which are limited. No matter how talented you are, they are limited and they pale in comparison to the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. Because God's going to ask you to do things that go far beyond your natural ability. And that's going to require the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you. But you have to understand that Holy Spirit within you contains the actual unlimited presence of God and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. And see, your job is to go out into the world and reconcile the world back to God, to show them what real power looks like. Devil's going to try to back you down and suggest that somehow they have power that's greater than the power in you, and this is not the case. And that's why I want to hear it straight from the word of God today, so you don't think it's just something I'm saying. I am standing on the full, unlimited authority and power of the word of God this morning. So look at what it says in 1 John chapter 4. It says, love God, love for God, and love for one another. Verse 1 says, behold, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world, right? So the spirit of the Antichrist is saying, didn't come in the flesh. And when we hear that, then we have to reject that spirit. But look at what it says of us in verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, those in the world. Because he who is in you, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. Speaking of those who are led by the devil. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, it is important to understand that the distinction between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who are embraced by the world, they speak as the world speaks. They are concerned with carnal things. They care about where you live and what you drive and what you wear and all this stuff, how much is in your bank account, what your net worth is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these things that mean absolutely nothing. they mean nothing in the scope of things. Because, see, we're here for eternity. Our rewards are stored up in heaven. But then in addition to that, when we do God's things God's way now, God openly rewards us here right now in order to show people the difference between playing church and being the church. See, you are the dwelling place of the Most High. You are the temple of God. God dwells within you. That's why the Holy Spirit was placed within you, so that God, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit within you, can operate in absolute power in the world. And see, you are the vessel of God. God is not trying to get you into heaven. That happened when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was the Lord of your life. You believed in your heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. You repented and turned away from serving sin. You were water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You called on the name of Jesus Christ. You believed to speak in tongues. You believed to prophesy. Now, there's no question about whether or not you're going to heaven. That's done. God is trying to get heaven out of you. He's trying to get power out of you right now so that people in the world can be healed, so that people in the world can receive miracles, so that people in the world can benefit from you operating supernatural acts of believing to their benefit that cause them to see the power of God being manifested in the earth so that they know that God is real. See, God is real, and he wants them to come to him and receive the same power that you received, that you decided to operate in, so that they too can operate in that same power and not be afraid of God. Because, see, perfect love casts out fear, and the only way to have that perfect love is to have the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you and to know it. And see, if the devil can talk you into good enough. Is it good enough to come to church every Sunday? That's good enough. Is it good enough to come to church on Sunday and go to Bible study on Wednesday? Is that good enough? That's good enough. Is it good enough to just read your Bible every now and then? Oh, that's good enough. Well, what happens when the devil shows up and tells you you're not saved? When the devil shows up and causes havoc in your life, and the devil shows up and remind you of something you did so long ago, or maybe something you did not so long ago. He tries to convince you that you got more power than the blood of Christ and you can send yourself to hell. Look, God said, I sent my only begotten son to pay for the sins of all mankind, and his blood is powerful enough to do that, then you need to believe that. Because, see, Abraham's faith and God was what was accounted to him as righteousness. It was Abraham's faith that was accounted to him as righteousness. We are referred to as children of Abraham because our faith in Jesus Christ is also accounted to us as righteousness. And God tells us that our faith in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ makes us the righteousness of God in the eyes of God. And that's what we have to stand on. And that removes the fear because it says that because God loved us. And I think we ought to read it here first so that we get it. But what you're going to hear God say is God loved us first, so we love him. Look at what it says here in verse 7 of 1 John 4. It says, and this talks about knowing God through love. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That big word propitiation is payment. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And see, we are not yet at that point in the body of Christ yet, but we're on our way. We are not at the point where we have come to the knowledge of the Son of God through the unity of the faith. And that's manifest in that we got a million different religions that can't even agree on the three verses, the three passages of Scripture that tell us the things we need to do in order to be saved and know that we're saved. We do not yet agree in the body of Christ in Acts 2:38 and 39, Acts 19:1 through 7, and Romans 10 verses 8 to 13. If we in the body of Christ could embrace that, then we could become what God is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. We could walk in that unity of the faith, understanding the love that God manifests when he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, through his Son. See, this is what you have to understand. God is spirit. God is all-powerful. God is present everywhere, and God is all-knowing. God cannot be sent everywhere because he's already there. But God sent his only begotten Son who was in his bosom into the world to take on flesh. He was spirit first, just like God in the bosom of God. But he sent his only begotten Son from that place of privilege to take on flesh and be born through a virgin so that he could show us the power that God is reintroducing to mankind. See, God originally created man with that power. Adam was created with that power. But then when Adam disobeyed, he had a new God. He had somebody who was over him that was a nobody before. See, the devil was a nobody before Adam sinned. Adam didn't know anything about the devil. The devil's rebellion was something that the other angels knew about, but mankind didn't know about the devil. And yet, this one act of disobedience caused Adam to become subject, not just become subject. He literally handed over the authority and dominion that he was given over the entire known earth, the world. He had full dominion. God gave it to him. He's like, you name all this stuff. You do this work. You benefit from this work. Eat freely of all this, but don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because on that day, you will surely die. You will no longer be a light being. You will be just body and soul. You'll be running around here like another animal, not able to just come into my presence freely and dwell within my presence and to shine as I shine. See, we went backward. And then 4,000 years later, God had to send his only begotten Son to undo the damage that Adam did. And now we have the opportunity to walk in that place of privilege. But God says, look, if I loved you so much to send my only begotten Son to die for your sin, now I'm going to require you to love one another. What's that mean? Well, it means I might not agree with all your ideas and opinions about the Bible, but I know this. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the things we do, let's focus on what the Word says. Let's do what God does. God said he humbled himself to his own Word. He magnified his Word above his very name. And so if God magnifies his Word above his name, we ought to magnify God's Word above his name. That means we need to study God's Word to know what God said, because that's all that matters. What we think, what we said, what some other great person said is of little or no significance in your life, because it can't cleanse you. It can't empower you. It can't deliver you. But your love for God is going to cause you to love others and then cause you to set an example for them of what that looks like so that they can back down and humble themselves and then elevate the Word and share what they know of the Word that might be able to help you. And then you might share with the Word you know to me to be able to help me. And then we can all go up together, because I don't know everything any more than you know everything. But we're all studying, hopefully.
Come on, Bishop.
In 1 John 4, verse 12. Seeing God through love. It says, no one has seen God at any time. Remember, God is spirit. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. See, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. See, the perfect love that casts out fear is the result of us loving one another and understanding that God abides in us when we do this. And his love has been perfected in us when we do this. And this perfected love casts out fear. So now when I hear something that I don't agree with, my only responsibility is to share the word. I can't make you receive the word.
Yes.
You might hear something in the word you don't like. That's not my business.
My job is
not to change your mind. My job is to make available what the word of God says and then show you an example of me humbling myself to the word. And I've had to change. I had to fix things a lot of times that I had wrong. But look at what it says. And this is the result of for me, it's been a long walk with Christ, right? But compared to others, it's nothing, because I'm sure there are many on this line who are quite older than me and have been in this quite longer than me. But look at what it says here. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. See, God gave us of his spirit so that we could operate in that absolute power. And we know that we abide in him, because his love has been perfected in us, because he abides in us, because we love one another. We look past one another's sins. We look past one another's opinions. We look past one another's denominations. We look past one another's race and ethnicity and nationality and language and socioeconomic positions and education.
Come on.
See, I don't care about
Praise
none of that down. Stuff. We're all part of the same body. It says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. See, we see, have seen and testify that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior of the world. See, that's what's so wrong with rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what's so wrong with rejecting the power of the blood of Christ, is you're saying it wasn't powerful enough to pay for everybody's sin. It was. And when people reject that payment for their sin, what they're receiving is damnation. They're receiving condemnation. They're receiving everything God does not want for them. But it's their unbelief. It's their rejection. It's their, see, perfect love, God's love gives you a choice. He says, I set before you life and death. But I'm telling you in my word to choose life. But because God is all-knowing, only God knows the past, present, and future. He knows who is going to believe, who's going to accept his son as their master, and he knows who's going to reject his son, Jesus Christ, as their master and reject that payment for their sin. So look at what it says. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's what verse 15 says. 1 John 4:15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I always wondered when I was in school why we had to take algebra and it would be A plus B equals C and this, that, and the other, and A plus B equals the square root of this, that. You know, I'm like, why are we trying to do math with numbers or with letters? Why are we trying to do math with letters, right? Well, in the Bible, what you'll discover is that in the Hebrew language, the letters are numbers and the numbers are letters. And when you put together a sentence, it's actually an equation, right? When you read what we just read in Matthew chapter 15, it reads just like an equation. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. You could literally write an equation out of that. But look at what it says here about the consummation of love in verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And I want to stop there for a minute, because there are a lot of people who are teaching that if you're saved, you can go to hell. And I'm here to tell you today that that's not true. Either you're saved or you're not saved. God's love has been perfected among us so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, when we're walking in love, when we are truly repenting, and that's the issue, is that if you're one of these people who have a form of godliness, but you reject the power of that godliness, then you're just pretending to be saved. And that's why you think you might go to hell, because you don't know that you're saved. You have not embraced Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. You have not embraced Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. You have not embraced Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, because somebody told you it doesn't take all that. And I'm here to tell you, you need to take a closer look and then repent. What it's saying here is that we are in a place of favor. And so it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, as Jesus Christ is, that's how we are in this world. It says, signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe. See, our faith is accounted to us as righteousness. We are among those who believe. So as Jesus Christ is, so are we in this world. Jesus Christ was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And when the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within us, we share in that power. We are being called to operate in that power. Then it says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. If you think you can go to hell, even though you've obeyed all God has told you to do, and you think you could still go to hell, you think there's something more powerful than the blood of Christ, somebody told you wrong, and they are causing torment in your life. See, it says there is no fear in love, verse 18, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us, right? That's why we love him, because he first loved us. And then this is how it finishes in 1 John 4, obedience by faith. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Remember, God is spirit. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must first love his brother also. So I want to leave you with this today so that you can embrace the power of God. Understand that we have been called to a mighty call. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when we embrace the power of God in our life, we are going to be living a perfected love walk. We are going to be operating the full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within our life, and we are going to be speaking in tongues with interpretation. We are going to be prophesying. We are going to receive words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. We're going to be producing supernatural acts of faith, miracles, and gifts of healing so that others are healed. And as we operate that power in our life, then we're going to produce this fruit of the Spirit in our life of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And the overflow of that into the lives of those around us that we impact are going to be the seeds of that love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And others will be blessed and drawn to God because they see the signs, miracles, and wonders that we are producing in the earth. And many are going to come to God as a result of that.
Yes, hallelujah.
So this word that's gone forth today, I thank you for you having inspired and motivated someone to come closer to you today, to spend more time in your word today, to verify the things that they have heard in the scripture, to make sure they are of you and not just somebody talking. Father, I thank you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Well, today, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, you heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That was a powerful word right there. Now, if that don't move you, I'm here to tell you today, you already dead. You just still walking around. Hallelujah. Our brother Bishop brought it. He told you God's word. You have heard a rhema word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is inviting you to embrace that relationship with Jesus and not just have a form of godliness. He wants you to tap in to the power of Jesus Christ so that you can go out and make disciples. Now, Brother Bishop, we thank God for you, and we thank God for that message, okay? Hallelujah. So much so, we are going to ask our pastor, Pastor Vanessa Carver, to come on in and seal that holy, mighty word with prayer. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That was an excellent, excellent speech. And a message that is so encouraging. So we thank you, Bishop Carver, for that. And I'm going to pray for him first, and then I will seal the word. Father God, I thank you for allowing my husband to bring this word in such a place of dominion and authority. I thank you, Lord, today for strengthening him. I thank you, Lord, for refreshing him, energizing him. And I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. But I also thank you, Lord, for the power of this word and the weight that it carried. And I thank you, Lord, today that it's all about our identity in you. And I thank you, Lord, today for the continuous clarion calls, for the continuous alarms that come with walking in truth and integrity in your word. I thank you, Lord, today because this message feels like it was a line in the sand. And I thank you, Lord, we have to choose who we serve. We have to choose that we are going to do it your way. There's no other way. And I thank you, Lord, today is also for many of us a reminder of who we are in Christ and who we should be versus what man has said, society has said, and everything else. But it has to be, I thank you, Lord, today for the word being preeminent in our life. It has the last say and the first say. And I thank you, Father God, today that this message had that type of a weight to it, that type of understanding and enlightenment that we got to choose. We got to choose, and we got to make up in our minds to do it God's way. And we can't be struggling with identity crisis and things of this nature. And, Lord, give us a hunger for this word and help us to make it plain to us. For those who have an ear to hear, I know and believe that this word will be fruitful in your life, that it will strengthen you in the days to come, that it will not just remind you, but it is give you direction, give you instruction, and keep you safe in knowing that, you know, God said if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. Jesus said this.
Yes.
And one of the things I thank you, Lord, today, I'm going to say this last prophetic word because I truly believe that God is shaking things.
Yes.
And anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And he's coming for those who are not walking according to his will, those who have used ideologies and things of the nature to say this is what it is, what it is, and it's not had nothing to do with the word. So even as it pertains to our, and it shouldn't be, and it has to be Christ-centered. So, Lord, I just thank you, Father God, today. Like I said, those who have an ear to hear are going to hear this, and those who don't won't. And we are going to be able to tell who those people are and who they're not. This is not a word, Lord, that came to make us fearful, but it came to empower us. And so I thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word. And I believe that it will produce much fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This word is going to do exactly, exactly what it was set out to do. Hallelujah. It cut to tomorrow. But see, that's good, because sometimes we need to be pruned of some things. We need to be, as my sister said, some things need to be shaken out and shaken off. It's time to get real. Thanks to God. At this time, I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta Flowers to come forward again, because, see, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to you, those of you out there that are within the sound of our voice this morning, that you go to church, you listen, you watch the programs, you get the books, but you never, ever stop to just spend time with the Lord. You resist the power. I'm talking to you this morning. You need to come back and get in your rightful place with the Lord, so that he can empower you, so that he can encourage you, so that he can exalt you. He didn't create you to be isolated and alone and bitter and angry. He created us to bask in his love as we love one another. And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, we pray in the name of the mighty one himself that today will be the day that you tap in to his power by making him your Lord and your Savior. And not just, hallelujah, to say, oh, I'm saved, but to allow him to come into your life and change you and make you and mold you into what he wants you to be. So Apostle Zeta has some words for you this morning. The broken, the backslidden, the lost. So I want you to sit forward and listen up from the woman of God. Apostle Zeta. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil is a lie.
Yes,
the devil is a lie. Hallelujah. All right, Apostle Zeta, are you in the room with us? Hallelujah.
I am right now. My children are coming in, and my Lily and Andre to pick up Azalea.
You got things going on.
That's okay. That's okay. I can do this.
Okay, amen.
I'm right here.
All right. I just want you to do the invitation.
Off the broadcast, but I'm still on. Amen.
All right.
Okay. I did hear what you were saying. And we are here for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins. Also those that have backslidden, and we want them to know that Jesus loves them. He never turned his back on them, and he never will. But they, too, can come back, repent, and come back and pick up where they left off. And we're going to pray for all of them. Pray for them as well as those that have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. But we're going to go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and read some of the scripture there. We're going to start with the 8th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. We just heard the word of God. Those of you that were listening in, we know that you already heard the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the scripture here says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for us, hallelujah, that we could be saved. Amen. And that is for all of us. He died for everyone, as it was stated earlier. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the message and before the message as well. So you know that you can be saved. That we can.
Yes, Lord.
We all can live, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, because he made the way for each of us, hallelujah, to be saved. Praise God. All right. If you are ready now, those of you that have not yet confessed, hallelujah, because we first have to acknowledge the fact that we are a sinner, and that goes for every one of us, hallelujah, that we have sinned, hallelujah. But Jesus died, hallelujah, to save us from our sins. So if you're ready, I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Praise God, and you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ right now today. Allow today to be your appointed time to know Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah.
Father God, I have heard your word today.
Yes.
I know that Jesus died for me on the cross, but he rose on the third day according to the scriptures.
Yes,
Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I believe that in my heart. And so, therefore, I am accepting you today to come in, hallelujah, and allow me to be saved. And I know that your scripture lets me know that all I have to do is confess with my own mouth.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I pray this prayer. Father God, I'm accepting you right now into my life, my heart, because I believe you. Hallelujah. I believe what I have heard, and I am asking you to wash me, cleanse me from all of my sins. In Jesus' name, I desire to be saved. I desire to live for you. I desire a new life for myself. And I know that I can trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To help me to be what you would have me to be. In Jesus' name.
Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And now I'm going to pray.
Hallelujah.
God, I just lift up these ones that have turned their lives over to you this morning, as well as those that have backslidden, that have come back,
Lord,
to you. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that they will be taught, that they will be placed in the right place that you would have them to be in, the right church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With the people, Lord, that will be teaching them the biblical truths.
Yes,
in the name,
Lord,
of Jesus, make stronger and stronger in you, and have a relationship with you and other believers. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Apostle.
All right. I will be going. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have indeed heard the word, but we have one more word to hear. And that's once again from the man of God, because each and every week we ask that he comes with just a nugget, hallelujah, a word for our brothers. Because you know what? I just think that we spend a lot of time, hallelujah, getting together, and we uplift the sisters. But we also need to uplift our brothers and encourage our brothers so that they will stand in their rightful place, so that they will be strengthened to protect their families and to lead their families in the way God would have them to go. So Bishop Lester does an excellent job. So right now I'm going to ask him to come back into the room and give us his word for our brothers today.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. And today's word for the men has to do with every man standing in their place. And when you stand in the authority and the dominion that Jesus Christ has given you as your master, then you're going to be able to do the things that God, our Heavenly Father, is asking us to do. So I want to read four passages of scripture that are going to help you to stand in your place. The first is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it's God who is performing the good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the faith that makes us confident to stand in our place. We are not to be wavering. We're not to be believing lies. We're not to believe what people tell you when they tell you that there are those, well, what they're suggesting is that just because you do the work of God doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven, when it says that there are those who say, I did this for you, Lord, and I did that for you, Lord, and he turns them away and say, you are none of mine. That's not really us.
Yes,
that just
yes,
you do those work.
Come on,
that are, those are people trying to talk themselves out of doing the work that is there to be done. It's talking to people who are fake, who are doing false signs, false miracles, and false wonders. Lying miracles and lying wonders don't draw people to God by introducing them to God's Son Jesus Christ. You will hear the names of those people. You will hear the organizations of those people, and everybody will get glory at God and Jesus Christ. So don't let people talk to you because of that verse, which is being misinterpreted. Be confident of the thing that God has started, because he's going to be faithful to finish it. Then it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. See, God speaks in absolutes. God is faithful, and he will establish you, and he will keep you from evil. Look at what it says in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is what Jesus Christ says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. See, the desire to come to Christ comes from God. And if you come to Christ, that desire came from God, because God gave you to Christ, and Christ will not cast you out. You have to know that word to be true, and that is John chapter 6, 37. So this last verse, it's only one chapter, verses 24 and 25, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. So I want to leave you with that word, to be confident and stand in your place as a man of God, and know that you've been called by God to be his. This is the word for the men.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Bishop was on fire today. Him and the Holy Spirit did the Lord's bidding today, and we praise God for it. Yes. And we also praise God for all of you. Hallelujah. We want to just thank God ha, that we can come together and praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. And I don't know about anybody else, but that's what I've done here today. I was truly blessed by the word of God, hallelujah, by the prayers that went up. I am fortified and ready to go out, hallelujah, and share the gospel with somebody, because what this message did for me was just say, keep on going, keep on going. This was a fortifier, and we just praise God for it. Embracing the power of God. That's a good word. That's a good word. That's a good word. And we just praise him. We're praising God. We're praising God. I'm on full right now, and I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I don't even have to leave home to get on full, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we praise God for everything that we have heard here today. We praise God for all of you. Thank you, Jesus. And we also just want you to know that you truly are loved here. We don't know you, but we love you because we want God's very best for you. We rejoice and celebrate in all of your growth and all of your and all of your exhortations from the Lord. We celebrate with you, and we will bear your burdens because we love you, we honor you, we accept you, and we will be praying for you.
Yes.
So we just want, we pray that you just all continue to have a beautiful and blessed week and continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. And I'm just beseeching everyone around the world to please, please pray for the pastors, the apostles, the servant leaders of every body, of every organism of believers, because they need prayer whether they believe that they do or not. So once again, I want to thank you all that's here, all that was in the chat room. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could think to ask, may the sweet communion, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. You are dismissed. Everyone that is in the studio, you are unmuted. So I just want to say I love you. I see you, Brother Lee and my beautiful sister Terry. I see you, Auntie. I just want to thank everybody for being here and say I love you. Have a beautiful and blessed week, family. I love you. Yes. God bless you. Love you, Mama. That was wonderful, Bishop. Thank you. Wonderful message, Bishop. Thank you. God bless you, sir.
I love you too, Shirley. I love you too. Shirlene, I love you too.
God bless you all.
Honey?
Okay, Jeremy.
Okay, thank you.